This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
SoFi must be insane.
It must be.
I mean, I know it's California, but...
I've never been out there. But I mean, Vegas isn't that much cheaper, is it?
Yeah, no, I mean, nothing in Vegas is cheap at all.
That's what I mean, like...
It costs $100 a day to breathe out there. Have you been to Vegas?
I've not.
I'm going next month, and I'm just, like, dreading it, because I just know, like... It's annoying. That's what it is. It's annoying. You get nickel and dimed for, like...
Everything.
For, like, Diet Cokes or, like, $7, like...
Let me guess, like, each piece of ice in your drink is a la carte. You have to pay for each.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's just like it's like no one thing is that expensive. It's just like everything is expensive.
Yeah, like every, like, little thing that they charge you for.
Like it's like a $11 foot long instead of a $5 foot long, stuff like that. So, I don't know, man. You know, I don't know what the plan is for the Athletics. I free Brent Rooker.
Agreed.
That's what I said. But they got that guy, Nick Kurtz.
That kid.
I mean, that is like, he's the face of their Vegas team, it feels like, right? I mean, he's pretty young, isn't he?
I think so. I'm pretty sure he's a rookie.
Yeah, he's 22. I mean, my goodness.
So by the time that he is 25.
They got some talent.
They do have some talent. So I was going to say, that is like, and this is from a tweet from an hour ago. Think about it like this. The kid that they just picked up, Leo DeVries, is 18.
Yep.
Nick Kurtz is 22. Their Max Muncy is 22. Jacob Wilson's 23. Soderstrom's 23. Lawrence Butler is only 25.
Yeah.
Denzel Clark's only 25. Their catcher, Longoliers, is only 27. And think about it, Rooker, like, just turned 30.
Right.
So he's still going to be in his prime by the time that they move.
Yep.
Or you know, maybe on the tail end, but still
yep.
a potential face. And then you have all these guys.
Yeah. I mean, I will say, they're building it. They are building it for Las Vegas. So we'll see if there's anything else. I mean, Brent will be, you know, 30, so he's getting up there. I mean, I don't know how long guys last, you know, as great hitters. I mean, sure. I mean, what do you like? You hope he can go till 35. I mean,
longer.
Can you go longer?
Oh yeah.
How old's a Rosarena?
Randy?
Yeah.
Like 30.
He's only 30, okay.
Yeah. So like, he just had his fifth straight 2020 year.
How old is Kyle Schwarber?
Schwarber's up there.
32?
Yeah.
Who's like, who off the top of your head, like, who do you think is like, oh, this guy's like the oldest, like, good hitter? How old's Bryce got to be up there, doesn't he?
Harper?
Yeah.
Probably
32.
Yeah, in his 30s.
All right, so I'm not finding anybody that's like 35, though. That's what I'm saying.
No, but there have been some guys.
Aaron Judge is 33.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which that one still kind of feels a little weird. Like, doesn't it feel like he should be younger than that?
Yeah. I mean, it does. But, you know, these guys kind of just show up out of nowhere, these baseball players.
True.
And they're 27 already.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's very rare that you get, like, the guy that comes in at 19. And although, like, Ellie De La Cruz is probably that guy.
Ellie's a freak.
Yeah, I feel like
he's incredible.
Like, we don't ever talk about him anymore, though. Like, is it just because the team's not good? Like, why?
Cincinnati's not terrible.
Yeah, but like, so why don't we, I guess, I mean, 5 games above 500, why don't we talk more about Ellie De La Cruz? Like, it felt like he was doing everything last year as a rookie, and now it's just like we don't, he's not a thing anymore. But he is, I saw him in person as in Chicago, I was just blown away by some of the plays he made. He is just disgusting. He's must-watch television as a baseball player.
Oh, yeah. And then that's the thing, like, with baseball, and I guess with the way that it's going right now, a lot of these young guys have the opportunity to do that in just different ways.
Yeah.
Like, for example, like you just said, the Cubs. Look at PCA. Look at what he's doing. He's one of the best hitters in baseball all season, and it's like he kind of came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
He's much watched, must watch TV.
No, you're right. You're right. Anyway, there you have it. We'll monitor it all day, see what happens with the trade deadline. In the MLB. We'll come back, stick around. Jason and John, Return FM, ESPN. Dale Wolken is going to join us in just a little bit. I'm looking forward to catching up with him. We'll talk to him about the news from conference expansion or not expansion with Memphis and sort of what he would do, what he makes of it. I mean, I'm always curious as to, you know, what he thinks about, you know, these sorts of things. So anyway, we'll do that at 12:25. And then Bennett Doyle is going to join us at 1:25. But in the meantime, in between time, let's do a little thing we call the rundown. All right, so up at DailyMemphian.com, Chris Harrington has written a mailbag. And the first thing that he addresses in this mailbag is the lease. The lease. I mean, it does feel crazy. Like, if we had not gotten a timeline or an inkling of a timeline on this getting done from Paul Young, we probably would not even be sweating it right now. I get it. Like, you know, you're an optimistic person. You want to get this done. You want to, like, be proactive. You're the new mayor, you know, probably got caught up a little bit. And so now when it doesn't get done, when you said it was going to get done, everybody starts to get a little antsy. Everybody starts to get a little, you know, wired up. So anyway, up at DailyMemphian.com, Chris Harrington has been asked about the lease, and the question was, which of the following best describes the current state of lease negotiations? Chill out, slow plot process is moving slowly, but it's moving. No news is no news. It not being done is a bit curious, or stuff getting kind of spooky. This is what Harrington has written about the lease up at DailyMemphian.com. The subject of relocation was not broached again in a fairly lengthy story from The Athletic. It's a provocative notion to present only in passing. A few days later on a podcast for The Ringer, Bill Simmons and Zach Lowe, who seem well-sourced at the ownership and executive levels, tackled this topic more fully, noting that it was being widely discussed behind the scenes at the NBA Summer League in Vegas. Simmons talked frankly about the New Orleans Pelicans as a potential relocation candidate, concluding that that seems like where this is headed. I'm just going to say it. I think there's some buzz started that this New Orleans thing may be the situation. A more circumspect Lowe said that he had not heard any other franchise mentioned as a relocation candidate. These parallel stories, the Grizzlies' ongoing lease negotiations and speculation about NBA expansion and relocation, have not intersected. The Grizzlies have been working hard toward an agreement to remain in a renovated FedEx Forum and have never indicated interest in any other resolution. But the specter of relocation is an unwelcome topic for fans of many teams, not just New Orleans. You can find public pushback against the concept in Portland, a small market team currently for sale, and only a state away from Seattle. He mentions Minnesota, who, of course, once upon a time, they had an uncertain future with their ownership, and they have the second oldest arena in the NBA. And, you know, the reality for the Grizzlies is that they are in one of the league's smallest markets, with recent market concerns beyond mere size, and that lease is set to expire in 2029. And until that happens, yes, there's going to be, you know, speculation about relocation. Now, Harrington goes on to say that he thinks it's notable that lease negotiations in Memphis seem atypically complicated, is the way he put it, which is why it's taking so long. It's not just about getting a building done. It's about basically revitalizing and beautifying the area that the building occupies in downtown Memphis. And that's why he says for the Grizzlies to apparently be looking beyond the physical parameters of FedEx Forum in these negotiations suggests both more peril and more promise than in most of these situations. Because on the one hand, you know, it does confirm some of our worst fears about, you know, hey, they don't like Memphis. They don't want to be in Memphis. They want to move out of it. But on the other hand, it also does suggest, hey, we are in this together. We want what's best for us because what's best for us is also best for Memphis. And so, yes, that sort of it's a tangled web we weave, George. But he wraps it up by saying he doesn't want to fully embrace those options presented, but he does think it's mostly a chill out, slow process is moving slowly, but it's moving. So it's always interesting sort of to hear, you know, Chris Harrington come to where he comes down on these kinds of things. Yeah, I mean, I don't, first of all, you know, the lease isn't up until 28, 29, the end of that season. So it's urgent, it's pressing. You definitely, you know, would like to get this done sooner than later, but we're still talking about three seasons from now.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, 25, 26, 26, 27, was it four seasons.
Four seasons.
Four more full seasons before that lease expires. Now, I mean, again, it's like a contract extension. You know, you want to get it done.
You want to get it done earlier rather than later. Absolutely.
Right. Because, you know, if we're going into this, if we're going into 28, 29, and that lease is not extended.
It's going to be pretty pricey.
I mean, I'm a little worried. I mean, I'm probably.
That's where it gets to.
We probably, honestly, if it's not done by 28, 29, we probably know that they're leaving.
What
right?
was the what was the writer in? What they call it? Like, is that spooky season?
Yeah.
Is that where things start to get a little spooky?
I think if it's not done by the beginning of that season, we're past spooky, bro.
Oh, it's
haunting.
It's cooked.
It's like exactly like it's you know, terrifying. We've jumped out of our body. but again, it doesn't. We don't necessarily have any reason to think that that would happen other than our own. You know, Ed Scott, when he came in here, he was like, it kind of stuck with me. You know, in so many words, he said, like, don't put your past traumas on me. You know, like, I know
you need to reflect on yourself before.
Well, he didn't mean it like that. He just meant like, listen, whatever. I acknowledge that there have been things that have happened in the Memphis sports scene that have been very, very sad. And terrible, but I wasn't here. I wasn't here for those. So don't put that on me.
Don't put that evil on me. I'm trying to get to work
exactly.
And do something new. Absolutely.
And so I think that's the only reason why we have any, like, because we know that downtown has been a problem. We know that the perception of Memphis is not great. I just think Memphis has a PR problem. I was on some college sports channel last week. And they were asking me about this Memphis and Big 12 story, and I just said that Memphis has a terrible PR problem. Like, people have formed these opinions. You know, like, once upon a time, Detroit, you know, had a PR problem. They went bankrupt. Detroit went bankrupt.
The city.
The city of Detroit went bankrupt. They had Flint, they still have the water problems in Flint. But we don't really, like, talk about Detroit anymore like that. Like, the Lions are fun, you know. The Pistons
are getting better.
Yeah,
JB is up there doing his thing.
Yeah, like, we don't really talk about, oh, man, Detroit was a corrupt, bankrupt. And they got lots of crime up there, too. We don't talk about Detroit like that. They've got better PR than we do, you know. I mean, they just do. So I think that's the biggest thing is, like, we've got to do a better job. And maybe, you know, maybe I'm part of that. But, you know, we got to do a better job of, you know, saying, and I try, like, when we see the statistics about crime being down, I tweet those stories out. I also tweet out the stories about mad corruption. You know, I mean, I keep it a buck. You know, I'm not going to just only tell you the good news and just withhold the bad stuff. Like, we have to provide a full picture of the city as, you know, media. I think that's our responsibility. But I do think, like, when it comes to these types of discussions and, oh man, the lease and not being done. And it's just, we have this internal, you know,
it's almost like a fear. Yeah, it's a fear. It's a pessimism. It's a cloud of negativity.
You're born with it in Memphis, dude. You're indoctrinated in it. And, you know, you just always assume that something bad is going to happen. That is the psyche in Memphis.
I was about to say, and this is even from someone who isn't originally from here, but look at the other teams that I follow. I'm a Rays fan. We've been dealing with this for 20 years since we got to Tampa.
Right.
Since we started as a franchise, it's like, well, we're going to play somewhere. We're going to have to figure out where. Oh, you guys might try and split time in Montreal.
Yeah. Are they doing that? By
no.
The way? Yeah.
Absolutely not.
Where are they playing?
So currently they're playing in a AAA ballpark. They're playing in a Steinbrenner Field.
In Florida, though.
It's in Tampa, yeah.
Oh, it's in Tampa. So
for now, until they put the roof back on Tropicana.
I do think, like,
but we're getting new owners.
I think we have to start manifesting, you know?
Only the good things. Let's manifest some right. good things. What are we manifesting today?
Well, we're just going to manifest that the lease gets done.
Lease gets done.
And that the Grizzlies commit to a brand new future and that downtown is revitalized and the crime continues to go down. I mean,
These are all great things to manifest.
I think we just have to believe them before, because honestly, like, you know, it's cliche, but if you tell yourself you can't do something, then you're
not going to be able to
you
do
can't
it.
Do
you
it.
Can't do it. Yeah.
It's not, you know, I mean, you have to have some level of belief, you know, in audacity that, hey, I can do this. I can accomplish this. And it does feel like Memphis is a defeatist place, you know, a lot of times. And I've felt hopeless and, you know, I've had my moments, you know what I'm saying? But like, if you woke up today, George, and you told yourself, I can't do 7 hours of commercial-free football on 92.9 today, then you wouldn't do it. But you woke up today and you said, I can do it, and I'm going to do it.
I looked in the mirror. I said, I did it yesterday.
It's amazing.
I can do it today. I'm going to do it tomorrow.
You're doing it again tomorrow?
Well, yeah.
And then are you doing it on Monday?
BC's back on Monday.
All right. Only 4 hours that day.
Yeah, I only have to get up and – well, no, I won't even have Jeff with me. It's going to be me and Drew on Monday.
I mean, what is going on at the station? People just taking off left and right, just abandoning the post? I mean, where are the soldiers at, man? Where are they?
Is it me and Cerrito? Me, you, and Cerrito? Is that it?
Yeah.
Because Kevin's filling in through Monday on for
next
Jeffrey.
Week.
Yeah.
Next week. And Gabe, right?
Oh, yeah. Gabe and Connor, but like, they don't count.
Right. Mm. We're not counting them?
No.
For what reason? Just because they don't take vacation ever?
Exactly. Yeah.
Has Gabe taken a vacation?
Paternity leave doesn't count, does it?
No, people always, you know, people joked about that with me.
Why?
And that's fine. I get it. I was gone for a month, twice. But, you know, I had to absolutely be there for the second kid, for Dominic. Like, when he was born, because, like, you know, how could I not be there?
You got to, well, either way, I was about to say, that's, you got to be there.
Yeah.
No, you got to be there.
And believe me, it was not vacation, bro.
It is not.
No. With a one-month-old, are you kidding me?
Mm-mm.
A two-day-old, a three-day-old, that ain't fun. That ain't like I'm sitting there drinking Mai Tais, loving life, man. I'm like, damn, I wish I went to work today. I wish I could, like, get out of the house, man. Crazy as
just
hell.
Just for a couple hours. Just for a couple hours.
Man.
But no.
I'm under pressure constantly with the little one. Now he's walking around. He's getting into everything. I mean, he's hitting his head on stuff. I'm like, Jesus, kid. You know, it's so exhausting watching a child. It really, really is. It's a blessing to have a healthy child, but it's extremely, extremely exhausting. Because they just there's so many ways they can hurt themselves.
Yeah,
that's what it is.
But at the same time, they're kind of made of rubber.
They are.
They always bounce back.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, all right. We will come back. Dan Wilkin is going to join us on the other side. We'll talk to him about conference realignment and more. Stick around, Jason and John. I'm trying to find ESPN.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With AllTrails, you can discover nature's best with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh,
wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 40% off site-wide, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Dan Wolkin is a national columnist for USA Today and one of the newest members of the Vanderbilt Student Media Hall of Fame, class of 2025. He's a buddy. He joins us now. Congrats, my friend. How we doing?
Well, there's not too many halls of fame that you're even eligible for when you're on this side of the aisle in terms of being a sports writer instead of an athlete. So I guess I'll just take it wherever I can get it.
That's right, man. That's right. I think it was your work at the Daily that got it over the top.
Hey, I loved my time at the Daily. That was a fun 2 years.
That's what I tell people about the Athletic. I worked at the Athletic for 2 years. Obviously the Athletic's still going on. They do great work. They've been absorbed by the New York Times. But you know, it was a 2 years where I could kind of see that, hey, like, this thing probably ain't going to last like this for much longer. You know, they were just spending crazy money. I assume that was the Daily as well. I mean, they had to give you a ton to get you over.
Well, the issue with the Daily, and it was an awesome product. I don't know if people listening to your show even remember what we're talking about. It was a long time ago. I left Memphis for this publication that was part of the Fox empire, and basically it was for the iPad. It was a daily national newspaper for the iPad, and it was awesome. It had all these cool little bells and whistles and looked really sharp. And, you know, they sent me all over the country. I covered every major sporting event really for them, and it was an amazing experience. The problem was the iPad moment really only lasted for like a year before they came out with the iPhone, and people basically just kind of migrated their lives over to the iPhone, and the iPad was, you know, people used them and had them, but they weren't looking at them all the time like they were kind of in like 2009-10 when it was new. So that was the problem, was it just right. Kind of, you know, the iPhone just surpassed the iPad and kind of made it expendable, and so it never really took off.
Yeah,
but I'm glad I did it.
Yeah, I remember. I do. I was excited about it just as a lover of, because like it was formatted for the iPad. I mean, it was, yes. So when you would read through these, like it was very cool. But I think, yeah, you just kind of cornered, you cut off too much of the market. And yeah, like you said, the advent of the iPhone just kind of killed it. Anyway, I didn't bring you on here to talk about the Daily, although I could do it. We could have a whole conversation about the Daily. I really wanted to get your thoughts, Dan, on the last couple of weeks for the University of Memphis. You're somebody that, you know, has understood this place and covered this place for a long time. You know all about their pursuits, mostly of just the Big 12. But this felt like the Godfather offer. Over $200 million in sponsorship promises, full rev share promises, not going to take any media money for the final 5 years of this current media deal. And by the way, if we don't bring you value by the end of this 5 years, kick us out. Risk-free, no problem. Big 12 said they weren't interested. What have you heard about this back and forth between Memphis and the Big 12 and ultimately why it did not come to fruition?
Well, I think there's a lot of reasons why it didn't happen. And one of them that actually no one's talked about that I've heard but was told to me was that the way the Big 12 looked at it, if they added Memphis, they were going to have to add another team. So, you know, they wanted an even number of teams. So there was really kind of nobody else out there. I mean, they haven't been interested in cutting the pie any more ways than they already have with 16. So okay, maybe the Memphis addition would have been revenue neutral for the conference, at least in the short term, but an 18th team would not have been necessarily revenue neutral. So that was part of the quandary. You know, I think there was, I think Memphis faces some elitism. I don't think there's any doubt about that, that a lot of schools just look down on Memphis from reputation. And I'm talking about academic type people and maybe mm-hmm. even some administrators. Mm-hmm. I think, honestly, I think the program's penchant for NCAA run-ins works against it whenever they're trying to get into a league like the Big 12. I mean, we can talk about the specifics and argue that there's moments where it's been unjust. I certainly could agree with some of that, but you know, like a few years ago when Penny Hardaway plays James Wiseman, like that stuff just doesn't help. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like you've got to look at the big picture, and Memphis has got to figure out how to cleanse its reputation as a rogue actor in the NCAA universe. Is it fair? No, but is it what they fight? Yes.
I agree with you. I don't know that they ever can do that because, I mean, it predates Penny. I mean, you got to, I mean, this has been the perception of Memphis since Dana Kirk. I mean, you know, so I, you know, we're talking about 40 to 50 years of a hard earned reputation here. So I don't necessarily know that can be changed. So that it could sort of, I'll be honest, as a Memphis graduate and as somebody that wants the best for Memphis, when they were told no by the Big 12 with that offer, it was like devastating because I don't know that there is another path. I mean, I know that, like, you know, people will hold on to what they hold on to. The you know, the whole thing now is, well, when the ACC loses North Carolina and Florida State, you know, you can go there, but like that won't have autonomy, right? Like the ACC will certainly lose its autonomy status if it loses brands like that, won't it?
I can't really predict that far ahead, like what it would look like. Obviously, the Big 12 is also monitoring what's happening with that situation, and that's another reason why maybe they weren't interested in Memphis at this particular time. Is, you know, if the ACC breaks up to some degree in 4 to 5 years, are there teams, you know, maybe a Virginia Tech or somebody like that, who you know, probably wouldn't get into the Big Ten or the SEC, that they could kind of pick off. So yeah, all of that stuff is in the mix. I would say banking on the ACC in 4 to 5 years or whatever is probably a stupid bet.
Yeah, I think that's good too. And again, I think there's a reason why Memphis went to the Big 12 as opposed to, you know, the ACC. I haven't talked to anybody over there, but I would imagine that's where they felt their chances were best, and that's why they chose to go to the Big 12 and offer that. So okay, now what? The American football is fine. It's fine. There's no doubt about that. Like, you know, you have properties, Tulane, always competitive, Army, obviously, you know, Navy beat Oklahoma in a bowl game last year. So I think the football is survivable. You know, Memphis has, you know, $11 million payout. It's the highest in the group of six. I think football can survive in the American, but, you know, how do you sort of solve this problem, Dan? Because we know that basketball doesn't drive these decisions, and yet Memphis basketball has been the pride of this place for so long, and it is sort of being left to kind of die a slow death in this league that it's in right now in the American. So if you could snap your fingers and solve something short of getting into the Big East or the ACC, is there something that you can do or would do if you're Memphis?
Well, I don't know. I mean, look, I'm not privy to the numbers, okay? But what I imagine, based on what I hear and what I see when I've seen Memphis play basketball on TV, is that they are losing a ton of ticket revenue because of the opponents they play in the AAC. I can't say AAC.
I was
going
to say, is this a rebellion? Yeah, I'm trying to figure this out.
Tim Pernetti is going to text me tonight and like levy a $15 fine.
That's right.
And I'm gonna have to Apple Pay him.
You're not sticking to the brand.
They're losing a lot of ticket revenue. I think it's undeniable. Yes, we can say, hey, the fans should show up and buy tickets and go to the games regardless of who they play if they're there to see the Tigers. But we know realistically, you know, the look at who they were playing the first year that they were in the American, when you still had Louisville, you still had Cincinnati, you still had a lot of teams that were recognizable to fans versus now where it's you know, let's just admit it, it's nobody.
Nobody.
And so I think that is probably a huge factor in their thinking about what they want to do. Is there an opportunity for them to split it up, put football in the Pac-12, take basketball to the Big East? If there is an opportunity to do that, and again, you're dealing with college presidents, you're dealing with considerations from the Big East side where they would be a real kind of outlier. UConn's an outlier as well, but UConn is also a legacy Big East school. So,
right.
Look, if I were the Big East, I would do it because I just look at what they've done the last couple years outside of UConn, and I would be concerned about the competitiveness of that conference relative to the Big 12, relative to the SEC especially. It's not where it should be. It's not where it needs to be. Now, you know, Georgetown, maybe they're going to get their act together, maybe. Mm-hmm. You know, Marquette's doing well. Creighton's doing well. But, like, Villanova's in the dumps. We'll see if they can get it turned around. I just think there's reasons to be concerned for the Big East. And I think adding another quality program like Memphis would be good for them. And Rick Pitino has said yep. much the same. Yep. So if they can do it and the numbers work, the money works, I don't think that would be a bad outcome for the school. Look, Memphis is not going to win a national championship in football ever. They're just not. But it's also okay to be in a league like the Pac-12 where if you're good enough to win it, you make the college football playoff and maybe you win a round,
mm-hmm.
maybe you win two.
Mm-hmm.
That would be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
But like, so I don't know sort of what they think the future looks like in 10 or 20 years, but I would say it would likely be better for them with their basketball program in the Big East with schools that care about basketball the same way they do.
Yeah, we're talking to Dan Wilkin, national columnist for USA Today. I didn't bring you on just to talk about Memphis, but I just think you have such a unique perspective on it, especially as a national person because you worked here for so long. Like, people will tell me when I have these conversations, like I wrote that column for the Daily Memphian, hey, let's split this thing up, let's go bribe the Big East. You know, people say, well, that's how Memphis ended up in this situation. They prioritized basketball over football for so many years. What do you say to those people? I mean, is that valid? Like, Memphis being here is because they didn't invest in football. Although I would argue they've invested in football a ton the last 10 years, and they're still here. But what would you say to those people?
No, I mean, of course they've invested in football at a level far above what, you know, 95%, maybe 99% of the group of five programs have done. I think the story of Memphis football, if you trace it back from where it was when I left Memphis in 2010 to where it is now, I think it's one of the incredible stories in college sports that they've turned a program that had the reputation as a perennial loser, coaching graveyard, one of the most embarrassing programs in the country, to you're winning every year, you're winning 8-9 games, you're in bowl games, you made a New Year's Six bowl. Like, it's just assumed that Memphis is going to be good at football
yep.
now.
Yep.
Like, that's amazing.
Yeah.
So to say they haven't invested is silly. The issues that are preventing them from getting that call up to one of these power conferences really has nothing to do with the competitiveness of the football program.
Yeah. All right. Obviously, from a you know, sport wide perspective, you know, Texas seems to be getting most of the love in the preseason. You know, I don't know where you come down on Arch. To me, like, it's can't miss. You know, is this a team that you think is in position, Dan, to meet all of the hype that it is inevitably going to get, you know, this month and really what it's gotten all off season?
Yeah, I've got them winning the national championship. But I am not quite as pumped up about Arch Manning as maybe a lot of people. including like Paul Feinbaum, for instance, who his I mean, he's had some wild takes about Arch Manning. I certainly would expect Arch will be fine, good, maybe even really, really good. But like, he's been on campus for a couple years and we haven't really seen it. Like, he's not played relevant minutes of football yet. When he's been in the game, it's been to run the ball. You know, he did play in place of Ewers a little bit last year because of injury, and I thought he was okay. Mm-hmm. So I think maybe people are out over their skis too much ahead of him, but mm-hmm. overall, in terms of the experience, the program they've built and whatnot, I love where they're positioned.
I mean, Dan, you can't just wait on the guy to be great. You have to forecast it. What value did Paul Revere have if he would have just said, hey, the British are here? You know, he said they're coming. That was the value. So you got to see. I mean, I think he only had that one, what was it, against Louisiana Monroe, where it was like 51-3. There were a couple, and I know it's against like a bunch of, you know, slappies on that defense, but the way he threw that ball, man, it's intoxicating. And maybe if he was, I just wonder how much of it is, I know he's a Manning. I do worry a little bit about that.
That's what I was going to say. I mean, if you're talking about somebody whose name was John Martin with the exact same track record in college football games that we've actually seen, there would be 20% of this kind of hype around him going into this year. Having said that, I mean, he was obviously a top recruit. Steve Sarkisian is a terrific developer of quarterbacks, but he has to develop. I mean, I'm watching Texas play late last season in all these games, and I'm sitting there thinking, all right, why isn't Arch Manning the starter right now? Because Quinn Ewers was really struggling, and he was not healthy, and he just wasn't very good. And like, if there was ever going to be an opportunity for Sarkisian to pull the plug and just go ahead and start the Arch Manning era, there were chances late last year and he just didn't do it. So I don't think Steve Sarkisian is a dumb guy when it comes to quarterbacks. So I think it's very legitimate for that to give you pause.
Of these three teams that are sort of reloading at quarterback, which do you think is going to have the roughest time between Alabama, Ole Miss, and Tennessee with that new starter? Which one of those three teams do you think has the roughest go?
Well, I would say Tennessee, only because they got thrown a curveball pretty late in the game, right? Obviously, you know, Nico was slated to come back and start. There were certainly issues with him. He was not as good, at least early in his career, as people hoped he would be when they paid him all that money. But like, he was going to be the starter, and then you get to the spring and now he's not the starter. He's off at UCLA UCLA. And, mm-hmm. And, you know, and then they end up now, you know, we'll see who ends up starting. I mean, you know, Joey Aguilar, I mean, there's, you know, George McIntyre, like, it's just like, there's a big unknown there to me. So I do think, you know, it's not going to be hard from the sense of, you know, it's not like Nico was a Heisman Trophy level quarterback and now they've got this huge vacuum there. It's just more, this was the plan, and then the plan changed really, really late in the game.
Yeah. I think like all three, like, I don't know what it is. I wonder with Alabama, like, is it just like, I'm so used to, you know, I know Saban's going to go 11-1 or 12-0 every year, and so anything other than like anything like 9-4 is just a complete abomination. Or is there a drop off with Kalen DeBoer? Like, how do you sort of sort through that?
Well, look, Kalen DeBoer, I thought, was a little bit disappointing last year for sure. But at the same time, like, he's coming in, he's got a system, and he's coaching guys who were recruited for a very different system. And also, he didn't have Ryan Grubb last year, and that was a big deal. Ryan Grubb, who was the offensive coordinator who was with him at Washington, went to the NFL last year, worked for the Seahawks. DeBoer goes to Alabama, and now Grubb is back because he got fired from the Seahawks. But putting that partnership back together, I think will have a positive effect on Alabama. I don't know. Maybe there's just a little bit of historical bias there, both in Alabama and in Kalen DeBoer being really good offensively. I just kind of have to think that Alabama will be much, much better than they were last year.
All right, last thing before we let you go. It's always nice to catch up with a Vanderbilt Student Media Hall of Famer here on the show.
Yes.
John Calipari is not official, but there is an expectation that Arkansas will come to FedEx Forum and play the University of Memphis in an exhibition game benefiting St. Jude. He has talked about, you know, hey, he wants to bring back former players as part of this. That may be more of like a human shield so that you can't boo him when he's out there. But what kind of reception do you think he would get 16 years later, you know, in that building playing Memphis?
I can only guess because I haven't been in Memphis for a long time, and I don't know what the discourse is like around Calipari these days. Obviously, it's not as tough as it was 10 years ago. And also, I think now that he's not at Kentucky anymore, mm-hmm. like I think a lot of Memphis people probably just really rooted for him not to be successful at Kentucky because that's the school he left for.
Yep.
And obviously, he was successful. At the end, it was difficult. I think probably 70% of the fan base is probably ready to have the reunion. Maybe I'm wrong. I'm really just guessing.
I think like the fact that the program has been in the wilderness as well since then, like it should sort of make you like hold that time a little more fondly and dearly, because it's very possible that it will never be that good again.
I mean, it's their own fault. They had a chance to hire Kelvin Sampson and didn't do it. You can thank David Rudd for that one.
Wait a minute. You can't just do that. You cannot throw that grenade when you're getting off. Are you talking about when Pastner went to Georgia Tech?
Yeah.
They had a chance to hire Kelvin Sampson.
I mean, I thought that was common knowledge.
I've never heard that before, ever.
Okay, well, ask GP.
Well, GP's never said it either, I don't think, publicly. Wow.
I mean, they had a chance. They could have had Kelvin Sampson.
All right. Well, that is devastating. You've completely, you've in many ways, you've ruined my entire decade. but thank you. Otherwise, enjoy talking, Dan. Thanks, man.
See you, buddy.
Yep, he is Dan Wolkin. USA Today, national columnist.
Did he just drop an absolute nuke as he leaked? Like,
he lobs a grenade that he says he believes was public knowledge. I've been around a lot of people. I've been in this. I cover Memphis basketball, and I have never heard that they had the chance to hire Kelvin Sampson. Not once. I've never heard that. Now, this was 2016? That's when they hired Tubby.
Yeah.
I don't think. Kelvin had
Where was Kelvin at that point?
Kelvin was at Houston.
Still?
Yeah. He had just gotten there 2 years prior. And you know what? They probably could have had him back then because he had not gotten it rolling yet. If my memory serves, it took him till about 2017, 2018.
Yeah, it took him probably another year or two to really, really get things up and moving there. I mean,
yeah, so
he completely revamped that, like revitalized that program at Houston. Whatever that's worth.
So too. 2015, 2016, mm-hmm. Houston went 22-10, and they finished third in the American. Tied for third in the American. They went to the NIT.
Meh.
It was very much meh. But, you know, it's tough because it's obviously you look at what the man has done since he's gotten it rolling at Houston, and it's easy to look back on that and say, what in the world? You had a chance to hire, like, literally, for my money, the best coach in the sport.
Yeah.
And you didn't do it. But
hindsight always does that.
In their defense, I do not believe it would have gone over well. I do not believe that Memphis fans would have been excited about that hire at all.
At that time,
if you just know, like, hey, you know,
this is the kind of culture he's going to bring. This is the kind of program he's going
to
build.
You got to be able to tell people, I know it doesn't seem sexy. I know it doesn't seem great, but give this man a chance and you guys will be. It takes that.
It does.
Tubby,
absolutely.
Tubby was a much better immediate sell. Yeah. Because he'd won a national championship. He was coming off of a campaign where he was National Coach of the Year. Much easier sell. Really, like, again, the antithesis of what they had at that time, which was like a recruiter had a bad reputation as a coach. You know, now you get a good coach who has a reputation of a mediocre recruiter, but people were willing to live with that.
And then, of course, you know, going from that to Penny's going to be the easiest sell, no matter
Penny. They had to get people back in the building.
Yes.
So,
but that's the easiest sell going.
But damn. Damn,
and
man.
Then if you think about it, if Kelvin Sampson's able to do a similar kind of trajectory.
Oh, he would have been able to do it at Memphis the same way he's done it at Houston. I mean, he would
absolutely,
you know.
Absolutely, he would have.
So, that sucks. That sucks. It would have been nice to have Kelvin Sampson, you know, back
literally
back in
2016. Like 99% of the country at this point would be
that?
Like,
had you heard that rumor?
I had not heard. No. I'm saying at like right now, if you asked 99% of college basketball fans if they would like to have Kelvin Sampson as their coach.
Yeah.
That everyone would say yes.
I think literally any program would have him. Yes. I don't think there's. I mean, maybe UConn.
Maybe UConn. I mean, after winning the way they did last year, maybe Florida. Even though Golden is very young.
Yeah.
Duke, maybe? Would they? I mean, I know they really like.
No, I don't think Duke would take him. I think Duke is probably the only. Duke and UConn are maybe the only. Kentucky with
Pope.
Yeah.
They love Pope there.
I think pretty much every other program would take him, though, happily. They should.
What about Gonzaga?
Well, I mean, Few's a lifer there.
That's what I mean.
But I think if, you know, if you left tomorrow, they would take Kelvin Sampson. You know, I mean,
they'd kind of.
Yeah.
If you left tomorrow, they need to find someone pretty quick.
Yeah.
Coming up on them.
Yeah. that's a little bit of a depressing thought there. I'm not going to lie to you. Because if you just, I mean, I think Kelvin is the best coach in the sport. I truly do. I think he's better than anybody at motivating players and getting guys ready to play. I mean, look what he's done. He has been to at least a Sweet 16 every single year since 2018-19.
Oh, is it a similar, not just Gonzaga, Michigan State with Izzo?
Yeah, how many in a row did they get, though? Didn't they miss?
Michigan State, did they miss a tournament?
I think they did, bro. I think there was one they missed here recently. But I think, Gonzaga had a crazy Sweet 16 stat before. Yeah. I think they finally got put out before the Sweet 16.
They definitely didn't make it.
Yeah, in 2024, they had that streak got broken. Now, Michigan State has made a Sweet 16 a lot over, you know, the last 15 years. I mean, they've probably been there 8, 9, 10 times, but it's not a streak like Kelvin's. You know, Kelvin has been there one, no postseason held, but, you know, can't really hold that against him.
No.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 straight years of Sweet 16 or better.
Wow.
I mean, that is as good as it gets. And then obviously, like, they're going to be right back this year because they bring back Tugler. They bring back Uzan. Yeah. They added a couple of McDonald's All-American guys. I mean, I do think there will be a drop-off because Juwan Roberts was, like, that important. But Sharp is back. Uzan is back. Tugler's back. You're adding some dynamic freshmen. Like, Houston should not really go anywhere.
That's the biggest part of it, too, with a guy like Kelvin is you can tell that he – utilizes what he's brought and what he's made that program into, just the culture there, as are such a good recruiting tool, because he really does it on both sides. He doesn't have the reputation of, oh, he's not the best recruiter,
right?
But he's a really good in-game coach. He doesn't have that. It's just he's just damn good at everything.
Exactly. I mean, obviously, like, I think what Kelvin is great at is he identifies the guys that are right for him.
Yeah.
You know, like,
he's not just going to take the five-star for whatever reason. Yeah.
Like, in fact, he doesn't do that a lot, but it was Quentin Grimes from the transfer from Kansas that he brought in. You know, that worked out very well.
Yeah.
Developed him, and Quentin, you know, works out here from time to time with Penny, you know, so it's not like he relies on five-star guys a ton. Again, he's got a couple coming in this year, but he's more like, hey, can you meet my standard here? Can you commit? Can you be tough? He doesn't recruit the Instagram dudes, right? The guys who want to post their fits on Instagram, you know, who want to say like, oh, you're the GOAT, blah, blah, blah. Like, he wants to recruit the dude that wants to, all he wants to do is win. All he wants to do is out tough, out play, out hustle. You know, that's what it is.
Yeah.
I just respect the hell out of him, and I really wish Dan would not have said that he could have been the Memphis coach.
Because, especially, like, right on his way out.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you're like, ah, oh, we're going to let terrible. You go.
He knew
by
what he was
the
doing.
Way.
You know, that's
boom.
A Vanderbilt Student Media Hall of Famer. You know, that's what he's doing. He knows exactly what he's doing. So, yeah, I knew, like, you know, Scott Drew got blown up, you know, back in 2009. You know, I knew that by the, you know, by various factors. But I did not know about Kelvin Sampson. So, I mean, Memphis has a Hall of Fame list of coaches it could have gotten. You know, Scott Drew, Kelvin Sampson. So, yeah, we're stacking it up. All right, Ben Doyle is going to join us at 125. We'll talk to him about this. We'll talk to him about the Grizzlies going over to Europe. Lots more to come. Stick around. Jason and John, are you trying to film ESPN?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 40% off site-wide, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.